We are in a series entitled, You Drive Me Crazy, Loving Those Difficult People in Our Lives. 2 weeks ago, we talked about how we need to broaden our idea of what love is. A lot of times as Christians, we have this idea that love is just being nice, just being sweet. That's what love is. But when you look at the way that Jesus loved, his love was very intense. His love was very bold. His love was unnerving. Sometimes his love was disruptive. And so we need to have that broad perspective of what love is. And then last week we talked about how do you love a fool? And we looked at the book of Proverbs and describes a fool. A fool is impulsive. A fool is self-absorbed. A fool is angry. A fool creates strife. A fool is closed-minded. And you probably know some fools. You may have to live with a fool. And the question is, how do you love a fool? We talked about first thing you do is you kind of expose their folly. A fool is walking around with a mirror looking at himself, and he has a distorted image of himself. So you need to remove that mirror and give them a picture. This is what you are when you act foolishly. This is the behavior you have that's foolish. So you expose their folly. Second, you help them experience consequences. When you act this way, here are the consequences. Proverbs 9:19 says this, a hot-tempered man must pay the penalty. If you rescue him, you'll have to do it again. And so if you keep rescuing this fool, if you keep removing the consequences, he's never going to change. And so you help him experience consequences. And then third, you envision change. You remove the mirror, you give him a picture. This is you when you're foolish. And then you envision change. Here's a picture of you, how you can be. This is a picture of you in Christ. This is what God intends for you. This is what God wants for you. And so that's how you love a fool. The book of Proverbs talks about four different kinds of people. And these categories can shift. You can be a fool and grow into a wise person, or you can be a wise person and grow into or de-evolve into a fool. And so you can shift back and forth. The first category is the wise person. And this is not necessarily someone who's really smart. Wisdom in the book of Proverbs means that you put your trust in God's way. God, your way is best. I'm going to do things your way. And so that's the wise person. And then there's the simpleton. Simpleton is just kind of naive, kind of gullible. And then the next is the fool. The fool is closed-minded and arrogant, and a fool must have his own way. And then that last category is the wicked or the evil. And sometimes in the book of Proverbs, it's referred to as the mocker or the scoffer. This person, they go out of their way to harm other people. They are controlling, they are manipulative, they are abusive, they are treacherous. And so this morning, we're going to talk about how do you love a mocker? How do you love, and I like the term, how do you love those toxic people in your life, those people that just walk around and damage people and harm people? How do you love them? First, we'll look at some of the characteristics of a toxic person, and then we'll talk specifically of how you can love them. You may not have a toxic person in your life right now. I'm talking about people who intentionally go around harming people. They're abusive. You may not have that kind of person in your life. In my life, I've known only four people I would call toxic or evil or abusive. You may not have that kind of person in your life right now, but you may know some people that are being harmed by toxic people. People who are being abused verbally or physically or even sexually. And so I want you to take this information and help other people. So again, you may not have a toxic person in your life, but you know people, friends and family, that are dealing with toxic people. You can take this information and help them. So what is a toxic person? Some characteristics. First, toxic people enjoy harming others. They enjoy harming others. Take your Bible out. We'll be looking at a lot of places from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, page 450. 122, the characteristics of a toxic person, a mocker, a scoffer. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Mockers delight in scoffing. The book of Proverbs uses this term mockers or scoffers about 25 times, the mocker. Now, when we think of the word mocking, we think of someone who makes fun of you. You're mocking me. Oh, you're mocking me. Well, that's not how the book of Proverbs uses it. A mocker is one who scorns you, who ridicules you, who makes fun of you, who belittles you, tries to make you feel inferior. They enjoy shaming you. They enjoy pointing out your faults and your failures. This is a mocker. Chapter 2, verse 12. Wisdom will save you from the ways of the wicked man, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of their evil. They delight in doing wrong. They rejoice in their bad behavior. Chapter 4, verse 14. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it and do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. For they, the wicked, cannot sleep until they do evil. They are robbed of slumber till they make someone fall. And so they enjoy it. I can't sleep until I hurt somebody. That's the boss who loves to harass and belittle his employees. It's the coworker who thinks of gossip to destroy you so that he can advance himself. It's the wife who delights in embarrassing his husband in front of other people. It's the man who enjoys restricting and manipulating his family. It's the parent who finds satisfaction in belittling his child. You're a loser. You're nothing. That's the face of a scoffer. That's a wicked person. That's a toxic person. They go out of their way to harm people. They will verbally abuse you. They'll use sarcasm, name-calling, belittling, crude language, constantly bringing up your past mistakes, discounting your feelings. They'll yell at you. They'll threaten you. They'll accuse you, blame you, shame you. They'll use whatever they have to put you down, verbally abuse you. And then there's also physical and sexual abuse. The statistics on sexual abuse is just outstanding. It's incredible. And that's why one of the reasons we're doing this lesson is that there are so many people out there that have been abused, that have been abused either verbally in their family or physically or even sexually. And you can use this information to help them. Help them deal with the toxic people in their life. So the toxic person, they enjoy harming people. Second, they plan to harm people. Now, the fool is angry and impulsive. And so they harm you, but they don't really intend to harm you. They just kind of blunder into it. Now, they do harm you, but it's not intentional. The toxic person, they make plans. They intend to harm you. They think about it. They spend a lot of energy. How can I hurt this person? How can I manipulate this person? Chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, and feet that are quick to rush to evil. So their heart, they devise, they think, they plan out wicked schemes. Chapter 12, verse 20. There is deceit in the hearts of those who plot evil. They plot it. But joy for those who promote peace. Chapter 16, verse 27. A scoundrel plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. And so this toxic person, they go out of their way to harm you. They think about it. They plan it. How can I control this person? How can I manipulate this person? How can I shame them? How can I undermine this person's marriage? How can I get him fired? What rumors, what accusations can I start in this office? What can I do to humiliate this child? What weakness can I exploit? How can I gain power over this person? This is the toxic person. I know a young man who was raised by his grandparents, and he was the fourth child. There was three daughters, and he was the youngest, and he was the son. And this grandfather was fairly decent to the other kids in the family, but picked him out for special abuse. And he would just plan creative ways of how to hurt this young man. Like he would go to the store, he'd come back to the store, and he'd say, "Oh, I got some candy bars. Here's a candy bar. Here's a candy. Oh, I don't have enough. I'm sorry, I don't have enough for you." Little things like that, little schemes to mess with this young man's mind. This young man was very, very intelligent, and he was kind of a high achiever. But this grandfather picked him out for ridicule and for shaming. "You're going to grow up just like your dad. You're just like your dad." And always putting him down, planning to hurt him, scheming, liking to control and manipulate him. Toxic people enjoy harming other people. They devise plans to harm other people. And the third characteristic, they lack empathy. They can't put themselves in your place. They can't feel what you feel. They don't know what you're going through. They lack this empathy. Look at chapter 29, verse 7. The righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern. They have no concern for the poor. Chapter 17, verse 5. He who mocks the poor shows contempt for their maker. So he goes around mocking and shaming the poor people. Whoever gloats over disaster, will not go unpunished. They have no empathy. Chapter 21, verse 10. The wicked man craves evil. His neighbor gets no mercy from him. There's no mercy. There's no sympathy. There's no empathy. There's no feeling with them. You're just a thing, and I'm going to abuse you. I'm going to use you. There's a really great example in Mark chapter 3. It's the Sabbath day, and there's a man in the near the synagogue, and he has a withered hand. And the Pharisees are looking at Jesus, and they're wondering, is Jesus going to heal this man on the Sabbath day? If he heals him, well, that's working. You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath day. And it's really interesting. It says, Jesus looked around at them with anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. So he turns around and he looks at them with anger. And then he goes and heals this man. They have no empathy. They don't care for this guy who's a cripple. They don't care about him. They're all concerned about, oh, let's catch Jesus here. Let's see. There's no empathy there. Dan Allender, and I've referred to this book, Bold Love. It's a really, really good book if you've got some toxic people or some foolish people in your life that you're dealing with. He writes this. Evil is, for the most part, unfeeling. It lacks sorrow when someone suffers. The wicked man simply will now not allow himself to enter into the heart of the victim. The victim is an object, someone to be controlled or destroyed. Evil sees others as nothing but someone to serve him and his purposes. And I told you last week when I was in second grade, I realized, wow, other people think. You know, I was walking to school, and I wonder if other people have feelings. I wonder if other people talk to themselves in their head. Oh, yeah, they do. The evil person never gets to second grade. They see everyone as an object to be used. I met with a woman once, and she was very, very controlling, and she was very abusive to her children and to her husband. In fact, her grown children wouldn't have any contact with her. And the reason I was meeting with her is that her husband was separating from her. And the reason we were meeting is I thought we were going to talk about a way that maybe that they could have some reconciliation. So I was meeting with this lady, and I noticed that she kept asking me questions about her husband, and she was trying to get confidential information about her husband. And what she was doing was gathering information that she could use in a divorce procedure. And so she'd ask me all these questions, and I would say, I can't answer that. And finally, she looked me in the eye and said, well, then what good are you to me? And she left. That's a toxic person. You're just a thing for me to use. If you can't give me that information, you're useless. What good are you to me? That's the face of a scoffer, a wicked person. Toxic people enjoy harming other people. They plan to harm other people. They lack empathy. How do you love a toxic person? Very, very carefully. With much prayer and much planning. Jesus said something really interesting in Matthew 10. He said, he's sending out his disciples to do ministry. And he says in Mark 10, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be shrewd as serpents, snakes, but be innocent as doves. So I'm sending you out in the world. And he changes the picture. You always have the picture of the sheep and there's a wolf. I'm sending you out as sheep in a pack of wolves. They want to harm you. They want to bite you. They want to destroy you. You're going to go out. I want you to be as innocent as doves. I want your motives to be pure. I want you to go out in love. But I also want you to be as shrewd as a serpent. I want you to be wise. I want you to be cunning. I want you to think about this because there's wolves out there. And so when you're trying to love a toxic person, you need to be wise and you need to be careful. How do you love a toxic person? Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. This is the last passage we'll look at, but we'll look at it pretty extensively. Page 804. How do you love a toxic person? And I want to read this and then just draw two principles. Romans 12, starting with verse 17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, and then he quotes Proverbs 24, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So two principles here. First, do not let evil overcome you. And this word overcome is the word win. Evil is trying to beat you. Evil is trying to win over you. But don't let evil beat you. How? Two things. First, revoke revenge and refuse shame. Revoke revenge and refuse shame. Do not repay evil for evil. Do not take revenge. Evil wants to hurt you, and when someone hurts you, what's the natural thing for you to want to do? Hurt them back. He hurt me, you know, he hit me first. I mean, we've said that all our life, and it's just natural. But God says, don't take revenge, revoke revenge. You've hurt me deeply, and toxic people can really hurt you. But I revoke revenge. I am not going to personally try to harm you. I may give you consequences, you know, legal consequences or whatever, but I'm not going to personally try to hurt you. I'm giving that over to God. God will deal with you. God will have justice upon you. The most basic part of forgiveness is revoking revenge. You've harmed me, but I'm not going to harm you back. I may give you consequences, but I'm not going to get revenge. Revoke revenge. Second, refuse shame. The evil person, that's one of their main tools, is they want to shame you. They want to belittle you. But you can refuse that. I don't believe you. See, the toxic person, they're very good about mind games. And they can really warp your sense of reality. And they make you feel like you're nothing. But you can refuse shame. That's not true. That's why you need other believers in your life. Because this toxic person will tell you, well, you're nothing, and you know, you're always a loser. You need other believers in your life to say, no, that's not what God says. That's not true. This is reality. And so you refuse the shame. Matthew 5, it's really interesting. Jesus says this, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek. Okay, Mitchell, come on up. Come on. I'm not going to shame you. Okay, stand over there. Yeah, you're strong. Okay, Mitchell, like most people, is right-handed. Okay, come on. Yeah. Okay, so he's right-handed. I want you to, in slow motion, strike me with your right hand on my left cheek first. Your right hand, strike my left cheek.
Oh.
Okay, got it. Now, in slow motion, strike me with your right hand on my right cheek, like Jesus said. Okay, very good. Sit down. That is not talking about fighting. Jesus is not talking about self-defense here. He's talking about refusing shame. The context is probably a Roman soldier here. And the Roman soldier is shaming the Jew. He's slapping him. Backhand. You're nothing. You're a Jew. If you try to hit me back, then I'll kill you. I'll put you in prison. This is the Roman soldier. And so what Jesus is saying is you refuse shame. If they try to shame you, what do? Here you go. You can't shame me. And so when that toxic person tries to shame you, you're nothing. You refuse that. I'm not going to listen to that. That's not true. That's not what God says. And so don't be overcome by evil. Don't act the way they do. Revoke revenge and refuse the shame. Second, we overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. Romans 12 talks about giving good gifts to your enemy. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. The basic part of forgiveness is revoking revenge. I'm not going to try to get revenge. The second part of forgiveness is I'm going to choose to do what's best for you. I'm going to choose to love you. Now, what's best for you may be, I don't have anything to do with you. What's best for you is maybe to leave you. What's best for you maybe is a rebuke. I'm choosing to revoke revenge, and I'm choosing to do what's best for you in a broad sense. What is love in a broad sense? And so you give your enemy what they need. If they're hungry, you give them food. If they're thirsty, you give them something to drink. What does the toxic person need? What can you give them? Let me give you two suggestions. Here's two gifts that you can give the toxic person. You give the toxic person what they need. Here's what they need. They need the gift of repentance, and they need the gift of consequences. First, the gift of repentance. You can give them the opportunity to repent. You can't change anybody. Remember that. You can't change anybody, but you can give them the opportunity to change. Gift of repentance means you communicate what behavior is unacceptable. This is unacceptable. And you communicate the proper behavior. And you give them an opportunity to see that, an opportunity to repent. Paul writes, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on their head. What this phrase, heap burning coals, mean is probably guilt. There's an ancient, well, you know, this is quoting from Proverbs. There's an old Egyptian custom. If someone was going to repent before their God, they would go and get some coals from the fire. They would put it in a big metal bowl, and they would carry it on the top of their head. And then they would dump it into the altar. This was an act showing repentance. And so I think Paul is saying this. If you don't respond to evil with evil, you respond to evil with good, whatever that looks like, you revoke revenge, then that's going to magnify their evil. Here's their evil, and now you're doing good. That's going to magnify their evil. And hopefully, possibly, that'll create true guilt. Not all guilt is bad. And this evil person or this toxic person, they need true guilt. And so if you do this, if you love them, whatever that looks like, you might create godly guilt in them, and they might, perhaps, repent. And so you are giving them the opportunity to repent. Second gift you can give them, the gift of consequences. They need to know that their behavior has consequences. You need to create boundaries and borders. I will not let you treat me this way. You cannot cross this border. When we talked about the fool was kind of like guerrilla warfare. You speak the truth in love, and then you get out of the way because the fool is angry, impulsive. And so you speak the truth and you go hide in the jungle. Loving a toxic person is more like a border war. Here's the border. Here's my country. Do not cross that line. If you cross that line, you cross that border, then here are the consequences. So you make big borders. You make specific, this is the behavior that I will not accept. Again, Dan Allender says this, when we catch evil in the act, we need to calmly and confidently state what we're willing or unwilling to endure, state the parameters of acceptable human behavior, and then warn the evil person of the consequences if they violate those parameters. Inform the evil person that you will walk out of her office, or you will hang up the phone, or you will call the police. Do this deliberately, without apology, and without the absence of vindictiveness. So here's the borders, here's the consequences. Now, this seems so obvious, right? You know, if someone's doing something to you, you say, hey, you know, don't do that. And if you do that, here's the consequences. It seems so obvious. But when you're dealing with people who are being hurt by toxic people, they don't have borders. And it's so amazing. You hear the situation, you go, really? You let her do that to you? You let him say that? And a lot of times it's because this has happened for such a long time. It's happened very slowly. And a lot of times, those toxic people have power over them. Maybe they're an employer, or maybe they're a parent. And it's happened slowly over time. And this person has been manipulated. Again, one of the characteristics is they They plan their evil, and they know just how to warp your sense of reality. And so this is how you can use this information to help people. They'll tell you their story, and you'll go, wow, I mean, can't you see that that's not right? Can't you see that you can't let people that treat you that way? That's not a loving thing to do. God doesn't want you to let people abuse you. You need to make some borders. Here's some examples. Make some borders. And here's some consequences. A woman was married to a man that had a drinking problem. And in the evening, he would get drunk. He liked to drink vodka. And he'd pour the vodka into a coffee cup. And after that third coffee cup, he would get verbally abusive. And he would say all these terrible things to his wife. And then in the morning when he was sober, he would apologize. You know, oh, I'm so sorry that I said that. But the next night, he would do it again. He would drink the vodka, the third cup, and he would say all this stuff. She decided that one of the borders that she was going to make is she went to her husband and said, I will not be in this house when you drink. If you bring out the vodka or any alcohol, I'm going to leave. I'm not leaving you. I'm going to go to the mall or I'm going to go to a friend's house. I just will not be in this house when you drink. I will not allow you to verbally abuse me. And that was one of the borders, one of the consequences that she made. If a toxic person will not change their behavior and they continue to harm you and they continue to break and disregard those borders, one of the consequences is that you may have to limit or even end the relationship. This is the gift of excommunication. After much prayer, much planning, much talk with other believers, there may be a point that you say, I can't be around you. That's the gift of excommunication. You forgive the toxic person. Forgiveness means revoking revenge and doing what's best for them. But forgiveness and reconciliation are two different things. Forgiveness, I personally believe that you forgive everyone. And I think forgiveness is only takes you. Reconciliation, on the other hand, you can't be reconciled with someone unless they change their behavior. I forgive you, I'm not going to harm you, but I'm not going to enter into a relationship with you unless you change your behavior. Forgiveness is... Forgiveness is opening the door. Forgiveness is opening the door. But reconciliation is you can't come in unless you wipe your feet. You're not going to track up my house with all your mud. And so the loving thing is to forgive them. I revoke revenge, but you're not going to continue to abuse me. And I mean, if most of you think, well, duh, this is so duh, you know, but if you know people who are being abused, they don't see that. And they have such a weird idea of forgiveness. Forgiveness means you let people abuse you. That's not forgiveness. It's not forgiveness at all. We need to broaden our idea of what love means. Love is not just being nice. Love is moving people closer to Christ, giving them an opportunity. A friend of mine grew up in a verbally abusive home. Her father was always calling her bad names and just putting her down. She left her home when she was 19 years old. She continued to have a relationship with her dad. She'd call up her dad, but her dad would still try to control her, manipulate her. At one point, she decided, okay, I'm going to confront my dad about some of his behavior, some of his abusive behaviors, some of the times that he verbally and even physically abused me. And so she confronted her dad, and her dad said, I don't know what you're talking about. That didn't happen. And see, that's what the toxic person does. Your sense of reality is wrong. And so this woman had to go to her sister and say, did this really happen? And her sister said, yes, it happened, and even more. And so finally, after much prayer, she decided to break off the relationship with her with her dad. And she wrote her dad a note saying, I just can't have a relationship with you. You won't even admit that this happened. And for about 10 years, she didn't have any contact with her dad. She had limited contact with her mother. And then finally, her dad started getting kind of sick. He started getting dementia, and this woman decided, okay, I'll have a limited relationship with him. He never, ever admitted anything, doing anything wrong. And when the dad died, there wasn't any reconciliation, any total reconciliation. They talked occasionally. You give them the gift of consequences, but a lot of times the toxic person is so hard that they won't listen. But you've got to do what's the loving thing. I have another friend, and she was viciously and sadistically sexually abused in her family. Those who perpetrated this act, they died. But there was one family member, a distant uncle, that later, when she was in her 40s, he called her up and tried to start a relationship with her. And she was just uncertain about this. And finally, she was talking to this guy, the uncle, about, well, what about all this abuse? And you didn't abuse me, but you were there and you were aware of it. And he said, no, that never happened. That didn't happen. Again, messing with her sense of reality. And she talked this over with her husband, and they decided, you don't need to have any kind of contact with this person. And this person still called and still text and Facebook and sent her all these letters. And it was very weird. It was kind of like he was trying to enter her life for some strange reason. It was only almost like a manipulative thing. And the couple, they didn't feel good about this. And so finally the husband called this uncle and said, don't call, don't send any letters, don't Facebook, and if you do, we'll get a restraining order. That doesn't sound like love, but that's love. Doing whatever you can to move this person one step closer to God. You can't abuse me. You can't do that. That's not what God wants. There's consequences to that. Believers, we are called to love, but love takes on many forms. Love can be disruptive. Love can be bold. Love can be surprising. It's difficult to love a toxic person. We love a toxic person by revoking revenge, refusing shame, giving the gift of repentance, the opportunity to repent, and then giving them the gift of consequences. Again, you may not have toxic people in your life, but we are called to help those who do have toxic people and give them a sense of reality. That's weird that's going on. That's just not right. Can you see that? Helping people see reality. Let's stand as we close in prayer. Lord, I really pray for us. I pray that we would be helpful and healing to those who've been harmed by toxic people, that we would step in and give them a sense of reality of what's going on, and we would give them wise counsel, Father. Help us to come along them and to pray with them and to think with them and to plan with them in dealing with these toxic people. Father, just help our love for other people not to be weak and just sweet, but just bold and strong like your love for us. We thank you for this time. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.